The scripture reading for today is from Titus 2, verses 1 through 8. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the younger men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be.
This is the last sermon in our series, This Is Us. And I want us to concentrate this morning on This Is Us as the body of Christ, the church, St. Mark's. Our text, of course, is from Titus, second chapter, the first 8 verses. Let me set the background a little bit. Paul had established several congregations in Crete. Titus had been one of his companions, one of his helpers in doing that task. After the congregations are established, Paul moves on to other missionary work and leaves Titus to organize the congregations and to establish leadership, lay leadership in each of those congregations. I don't know how soon, but somewhere not too terribly long after the establishment of those congregations and Titus starting to work, Titus decides to write a letter to Paul. Or maybe he got someone to take him a message. But some way or other, Titus got the word to Paul, "This is a tougher job than I thought. I wish you didn't have so much confidence in me. These people are hard to live with, they are hard to work with, and to be honest, I'd like to move." Now, our book of Titus is really Paul's response to Titus. And Paul says to Titus, "You're right. Those people are tough to work with. One of their own prophets say they handled the truth loosely. They are mean-spirited. Yeah, you're right. They are tough to work with, but that's precisely why I left you there. Guess what? Got to learn to work together. No easy out. Got to work it out together." But now, thank goodness Paul doesn't leave Titus totally in the lurch. He says to him, "You know, I have some suggestions for what I want you to do." And he suggests the words of our text, that I want you to set the right example, first of all, but I also want you to address some of the needs in the congregation. Now, don't get hung up on the little categories. Paul really has in mind that Titus is to work all of these things out with all of us. It's not just to the older men, it's to the young and the older men. It's not just to the young ladies, it's to those who are a little more mature and experienced too. I heard a sermon probably, early 60s, early stages of my ministry that has stuck with me all these years. It was preached by Bishop Gerald Kennedy. And he had two basic questions in that sermon that he tried to answer. His first question was, what's wrong with the church? The answer, people. People, when they are unforgiving, when they are mean-spirited, when they are jealous of one another, when they forget to work together, that's what's wrong with the church. But second question, what's right with the church? People. People, when you and I learn to forgive one another and learn to work together with our focus on being Christ-like. So Paul is suggesting to Titus, yes, right now the people in Crete are what's wrong with the church. But your job is to teach them and to guide them so they become what's right with the church. Big job, yes. Guess what? Every church that's been on the face of this earth and every church that's on it now has to address that question. When you and I seek to be the church, we've got to learn Christ-like behavior, don't we? Doesn't come natural. Something we have to work at. He says, teach them to be serious about their faith. We have to come to grips with the fact that we can't separate faith and behavior. The whole message of the gospel is to help us become God-likely alike in our behavior. If you'd rather put it Christ-like, that works too. Same thing. We have to be serious about our faith. It's not something that we turn on and off. It's not something we do just on Sunday. It is life itself. The way we live day in and day out. And he says, endurance. Don't quit. Titus was battling a little bit the idea that, hey, I'd be a whole lot more comfortable somewhere else. Paul says, no, you've got to endure in that ministry. I get a little tired every once in a while. I'm sure Fran does. And sometimes we feel like we're having to drag everybody along. And that's tiresome. We have to learn to endure. The first little problem or trouble, we've got to get through it and past it, on beyond it. We have to learn to endure little disagreements, little difficulties, little words of discouragement. We can't let those things stop us. Teach them not to be malicious gossips, but to be kind and understanding of one another. Will Campbell is an interesting fellow minister. In one of his books, he writes about buying two baby chicks for his son and daughter at Easter. Remember when that was all the rage and you got the pink chick, fluff dyed pink, blue, all dyed blue? Well, everything went well for a while. And then the pin feathers began to come in. And those chickens no longer were cute. They were a mottled mess between pin feathers and blotches of blue or blotches of pink here and there. And they began to peck at those blue spots and those pink spots until one of them picked the other to death. And that one, the survivor, died a few days later of the wounds too. Folks, when you and I insist on criticizing each other just for criticism's sake, and we gossip about each other, we're doing the same thing. That's a good illustration of what happens to us and to the church when we let that happen. Paul says to Titus, teach him that's not the way to go. Teach him that's not the way to support each other. Not the way to encourage each other. Paul was a product of his time, just like you and I are. And sometimes he seemed to be wanting to pigeonhole ladies in specific roles that we no longer hold up as the icon. He says to the younger ladies, you know, I want you to learn from those older ladies how to be a good mother, good wife, good family person. He does a much better job in some of his other letters recognizing that people can have careers, ladies can have careers. He praises Priscilla and her husband Aquila as they work with him in Corinth. He recognized Lydia as a merchant who, and evidently a very good one, very profitable one. And he praises her and praises her for the leadership in her church. So get that idea out of your mind that Paul is anti-feminist. But I think what Paul was really concerned about was he was saying, it's your job and my job, as it was both the older men, the younger men, the older ladies and the younger ladies in the church there in Crete, to nurture each other. I need somebody from time to time to nurture me, and I earned every one of these gray hairs, but still need it. None of you have outgrown the need for nurture either. We come closer to answers together than we do alone. We need each other. So learn to nurture each other, he's saying. Nurture each other in Christ-like living. To the young men, he suggests, be taught sound speech and to be sensible. All of us need to learn to be sensible, and one of the big jobs in life, if we are going to get along with one another, is to learn to control our tempers. Now, it's wonderful that if it happens at a younger age, but somewhere along the way, we must learn that lesson. Control our tempers so that together we can talk things out and work things out. My grandmother used to remind all of her grandchildren over and over again. I even now sometimes can hear her voice in my mind. And she would say, child, you've got two ears, one mouth. I think God meant for us to listen to each other twice as much as we talk at each other. Pretty good advice. Pretty good advice. You see, we've always got a choice, and we're always going to face a choice in the church. And the choice is to be part of the church's problem or part of its answer. And I just want to remind you this morning how important it is that we learn to be a part of the church's answer. We're to set a Christ-like example for one another than for the world. We're to recognize that the gospel is meant to produce godliness in you and me. It's a constant task, never stops. We've got to avoid malicious gossip and picking at each other and criticism just for criticism's sake. We've got to learn to nurture each other in the faith and to control our own behavior, our tongues, our tempers. I want to ask you to bow your head for just a few minutes and reflect a little bit on your own life and your life in St. Mark's. Do you need to be a little bit more of what's right with the church? Now's a good time to just ask God to help you with that.